greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthened me. So there's one of the, we're gonna learn the secret, one of the secret that we gonna, that that Paul wants to share to the Philippians. And today we're gonna discover the heart of his leader. Today we're gonna discover that everyone has been searching for the secret of contentment. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, that I believe each one of us has been searching in their heart the secret of contentment. And Father, we thank you that you have put this in writing, that no one will tell you when they stand before you and make excuses, Lord. Father, we thank you that we can learn today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So there's a system or a procedure or steps that we can learn how to be content. And that's what Paul wants to share that to the Philippians. And the first thing that he does is that he rejoices over their concern. It says in verse 10 of our text, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern. In the ESV, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. So Paul is rejoicing that the Philippians was able to revise or to blossom again their concern of him. And Paul is thanking them for their gift that was sent through Epaphroditus. I wonder if these great people, they make hard of their names. Why they just put their Eduardo or Epaphroditus. And that we can learn that, we can see that in verse 18 of our text. Verse 18, it says, I have received full payment, and more, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, which is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So what happened is that the Christian in the Philippians area in Philippi, they sent Epaphroditus, but not only they sent Epaphroditus to Paul in Rome, which is Paul is in prison, but also they sent Epaphroditus some money. And Paul was really appreciative of what they sent, that because they were concerned before, and now this is the second one that they sent Epaphroditus to Paul in Philippi. But Paul, he rejoiced because they were able to convert that concern into action. And it's because it's different, Sister Mai and Myla and Mara, that you say something, but then if it's not you're not acting it. It's different, right? Because you only tell in your words, but there's no action. And how many knows that for Christians, we say something, but we have to follow through what we are saying, right? And that's what Paul appreciates with them, because they see the Epaphroditus to him in Rome, in the prison, but also he have that in action by sending him money. But Paul realized his need is to, but he wants to clarify that. In number two, Paul rests in this contentment. In verse 11 of our text, it says, there is a, I am not saying this because I am in need. So Paul is not saying there that because he was in need, because he cannot spend anything, he's in prison, right? He was in prison. Yes, he's probably had a real financial concern, but what he's saying here, while he appreciates the gift, he is not dependent upon, or it is not motivated. See? He is not motivated with money. Because Paul never begged them for money. He never preached for gain. He is not saying, now I can breathe easier. Now that I am satisfied, I can be content. So he is not content because he received money from the Christian in Philippi. He says, my joy was not dependent on having needs met. Thanks for the gift, but I'm still rejoicing. See, he's rejoicing, still rejoicing for the gift. But he just wanna clarify that. How could Paul make that claim? How did he discover real contentment? His contentment was a learning process. He says, for I have learned to be content whatever circumstances. See, contentment is that he learned it, not because he received money from the Philippian Christian believer, but he learned to be content, because it's where I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So Paul's word choice here is actually as a slap in the face of the Stoics. These are Christians that they are more on a physical tangent, or something is tangible, right? It's a similar word that it literally means it's self-sufficiency, free from concern, needs from others. He found a self-sufficiency or contentment, but not in himself. It comes from God. His contentment comes from God. It's a similar word which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I don't think I have put it here. Boy, I really put it too small, huh? Mm. You guys can read it? No? I cannot read it either. Here we're on the same boat. That's okay. Next time I have to increase that the font. Do you know why? I will not take responsibility for that. It's Ed Irvin.
What?
He put a new word.
Oh.
Huh?
Office.
The office, new office.
Oh, yeah.
See? No, but I was debating with that last night. It's just, is it too small or is it too big? But then when I probably, because I put the it's not the part, but it's that at the bottom will expand the document, and it looks like it's small.
Light screen.
But that gives me a lesson. But I learned to be content. I learned to whatever circumstances that we have. He's found self-sufficiency, his contentment, not to himself, it comes from God. And this contentment is not something he discovered one day. It's been a learning process. I have learned to be content. He learned. How many of you are still learning?
Right.
Huh?
Always.
I'm still learning. And learn to be content. Because I think all of us have a tendency. You know, when our mother give us the same size, the same food in a plate, but then on the youngest one, she gave a bigger one. That's where trouble start, right? As long, when we were small, my dad, we have a, you know, those butterfly famos?
Dying.
After we cook, we cut it in 7 or 8 pieces. And then we divide it. And then sometimes my mom, here's here, he give it to the younger. And that's where the war started. See? But as long as they are all the same, we'll be okay. But once you give extra to the other one, that's where war started. So, but contentment for Paul, his joy was not dependent on having his needs met. His contentment was a learning process. His contentment was not dependent upon circumstances. So how did Paul learn a real contentment? He learned it through experience. You know, right on verse 12 of our text, verse 12 of chapter 4. Listen to what Paul said. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound in any and every circumstances. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and in need. See, it's all learning. It's a learning process in our life, right? Paul personally experienced the whole spectrum of the haves and the have-nots. Paul was never a victim of circumstances, which sometimes a lot of people in our culture today, in our society, everybody wants, you know, he wants to have a privilege for the government to give them something, right? There's a term that they use. Anybody can remember? You know that they are supposed to, the government should give them some share of food, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cannot get their wants, they will not be happy. They complain. The president is this, and the president are that. So, but Paul learned that he will never be a victim of circumstances. So, how many times do we think and we'll say, if only I had this, I would be happy. If only I had money, I would be happy. If only I was not sick or in pain. If only we hear those words that Paul says, I don't need the F's only. I have been with them, and without them, I am content no matter what. So he learned through experience, and then he learned through dependence. This was the real secret of contentment. This was the greatest discovery. Verse 13, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's what your Bible says there?
Mm-hmm.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength, who empowers me, who infuses strength into me. See, it's not the social security or the program, social program by the state or the country, but it's through dependency from God. It's God that infuses strength to all of us who believes on Him. See, He didn't need their money or their provision. All He needed was Christ. As long as I have Christ, I am content. The flip side of this is also just as true. I can do nothing apart from Him, and I will never find contentment apart from God. Do you believe that? That apart from God, we'll never be content. Right? Amen?
Amen.
We'll never be content apart from God. In other words, if you're struggling today with discovering a real contentment, it could be because you haven't discovered total dependency upon God for all your needs. Warren Wiersbe said, if we depend on our own power, we will fail. But if we depend on His strength, on God's strength, we can do all things through Him. And that's what Paul experienced that. And that's why he encouraged the Philippians to depend on God. This explains why Paul could rejoice even in prison. He had learned the secret of secure mind through the power of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul says, thanks for your gift, but just for the record, I don't need your money to be happy. All I need and all I have has already been found in Christ alone. See? Have you heard? We have been in the church for 19, 20 years. We started in 1989. So that's makes us what? 19 years? 18 years? In 18 years, have you heard from me digging your money?
No.
I know that there are so many churches, you know, they are raising what they call it? Raising money, fundraising this and fundraising that. That's Jesus did the fundraising when He was here. Did I ever ask anybody? You know what? You need to give some money for the church. I share about tithing because that's a responsibility as a child of God. Amen. And we never have a fundraising in this church. I don't know. How long have you been here, Sister Mike? 2007. It's about 16. 10 years. Did we have a fundraising here? Because when we do fundraising, we're telling God, you're certainly providing.
Just the
yard
sale, it didn't work out, right?
The yard sale. The yard sale. It didn't work out. See, we are dependent on God. Amen. Not on our strength. Because if we depend on our strength, you know what? We're going to fail. If we are dependent on God, God never runs out of provision without supplies. Right, Sister Mike? So that's where our dependence is. All I want to all of us here, for those who are not here, sorry. But for us here, I believe this is what God wants to hear with us from Him to this morning. That our dependency, not in our own, not on the Department of Education, not on the Department of Social Security, not on dependent on wherever we work, but on dependency of God. Right? Who else? look around. There's only few that are filled, that the chair is filled. There's an empty. If we depend on ourselves, we can close this church. Right? But we are depending on God. That's why we're still here. Amen?
Amen.
So, how did Paul learn this real contentment? He learned it through experience. Right? And he learned it through dependency on God. Amen? So, let's take a closer look on how to discover that the contentment that Paul found. See, there is barriers to contentment. Right? There's barriers. There's barriers on contentment. First one is greed. This is the most obvious. We all want more and we want it now. We're not content until we have a new car, a new refrigerator, or furniture, Xbox, or whatever we have, or money, or clothes. See, these are the barriers of contentment. It's greed. Greed is the main driving force behind our nation and our personal debt crisis. Greed is the main reason why America has largely abandoned God. We're not satisfied with what God's offered. We need more. We deserve more. See? Affluence is much more dangerous than being poor. See, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into the ruin and destruction. For the love of money, there you go. There's the thing there. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Sister Rose is sharing with me the other day. Because the lotto is reached to what? 780 million? And you see that they interviewed about 9 or 10 lotto winners. And out of those 10, there's about 9 that they said, I wish I did not win the Lord. I said, you got to be kidding, Sister Rose. Let me win and I will tell. But you know what? That the heart of the person is, if they are, you know, greed is really, it's a dangerous thing that we play, especially in our culture. Amen? The Bible gave us so many warning against greed or money, the love of money, that practically any other vices will never find contentment in more stuff. And you just pass by in our area in Redlands. You know that they have 2 or 3 Mercedes-Benz outside of their garage. But then their garage is full of stuff, full of papers and can you imagine that, Brother Vic? You park your car, a Mercedes-Benz for 60,000 outside of your garage, and then inside of your garage is a lot of papers and stuff that you don't know. Maybe you can board it and you won't even miss it. That's the kind of culture that we have. If only I can get that Mercedes-Benz, only I can get those Tesla. If only I can get that Lexus. And sometimes you wonder why people wants to have that. But you know why? Because their neighbor wants that too. So I want to have that one. Right? Amen?
Amen.
So that the barriers of contentment The first one is what? Greed. Number two? Envy. Envy. Greed is wanting more of what I have and I don't have. But envy is wanting what others have. See? You're wanting what others have. And that you want to have one too. Right? And that's the problem that our country is in danger, because we create greed and envy. Envy often drives greed. We look at others and think, boy, they got it made. Their grass is different and greener. That's because they probably use more fertilizers. Envy is driving force behind our $1 trillion marketing industry. We're bombarded by it and tempted by every waking moment and many dreaming moments as well. Envy also show up when we wish we were healthier. Look at that. Envy will show up when we wish we were healthier, happier, married, and single. See? And envy show up when we did that I tell a story about when we were small, that the piece of fish will cut into 8 pieces that will feed us. But then when we give someone a bigger share, that's where it starts, the envy. Amen. Comparing ourselves with others always leads to discontentment. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. See, we should not be wanting to have below that, but things that are belongs to our neighbor. So what if others have more than me? So what if they are healthier or wealthier? When we begin to look with envy at others, we definitely begin to forfeit our contentment. Right? Amen? So the barrier of contentment, first of all, is greed. Number two is envy. And number three, unbelief. It is really a faith issue. We become discontent because we really don't trust God to meet all our needs. Paul's faith was tested again and again, and yet as it grew, his contentment grew. In verse 13, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So there is that faith that Paul has, that he knows because he experienced in the past, right? The experience that he has and the provision that he has. Amen? Contentment and the learning process that he has. Right? Amen? So those are the barriers of contentment. Now we want to go to the steps to contentment. Right? Like in the impound garage area in San Bernardino, there was a certain things you do to have in order to take your car from the impound garage. Right, Brother Paul? Before you can get your impound car, you need to have something, right? You need to have your registration should be current, right? You need to have the insurance. It's covered with insurance. Your car is to be covered with insurance. And what else the requirement? I think mostly are that one. Your driver license is current. And then your driver and your car registration is current. You need to have a current insurance. Right? So, that's the same thing. in the state of contentment, there's also a step we need to take in us to discover the contentment. First of all, is that we need to have a humility. Humility simply means putting others' need above our own. How many of us can do that? To put others' need above our own. See, it's hard, right? It's hard to put others above our own. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I think that's a very hard thing to do. To look others beyond our own. To let others more significant than ourselves. It's hard, huh? Right, Sister Mine? It's hard. But remember what Paul did? I can do all things. That means this is nothing if we believe what Paul is saying is true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who is strengthening us? Christ is strengthening us. Right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, where you will abound in every good work. See? God is able to make all grace abound to you. It's God. God that makes all things. That in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do we really believe that? What makes you happy? What brings you contentment? Let me ask you this. Would you be content if you did not get that promotion or raise? If you didn't get that new car or new clothes? Let's dig it deeper. Would you be content if your health was failing? Where's David? If you were in pain, your marriage fell apart, your house burned down, spouse died, would you be content? Real joy is not dependent upon having our needs met. Real contentment does not depend on our circumstances. Paul learned it through much experience and dependency on God. And I'll be honest with you, I am not there yet, but I desperately want to be. I want to discover what Paul did. I want to know and pursue gain through Christ. The only way I can do that is through the experience and total dependency upon God. Have we experienced that in our life? Total dependency on God? Or sometimes we cannot do it in ourselves because God cannot do it. Do you know that if we do it ourselves, chances are we fail. But if we believe on God, God will bring to pass. Right? There is such thing as perfect peace through contentment, but will never find it worldly position or circumstances. The question is, how long will it take us to learn this important lesson in our life? Whatever circumstances, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? So the bottom line, the secret of contentment, can you tell me what is the bottom line and the secret of contentment?